Johanan had warned Gedaliah about Ishmael and his intentions to kill Gedaliah, but Gedaliah would not let Johanan do anything to Ishmael. In November of 586 BC, just 3 months after becoming the governor of the land, Ishmael and 10 of his men visit Gedaliah in Mizpah. And during the meal, Ishmael kills Gedaliah. The next day, 80 men come to visit Gedaliah. Ishmael lets them through the gates, and then he kills them, 70 of them. The other 10 have told Ishmael that they have supplies out in the fields for him, and he allows them to live so he can get the supplies. The 70 dead men are all thrown into the cistern. Ishmael takes all the remnants of Judah down towards Ammon, but Johanan and the commanders catch up with Ishmael, and all the Jewish remnant escape from Ishmael and they join Johanan. Johanan kills all but Ishmael and 8 Ammonite men. Johanan and the remnant return back to Mizpah. It is his intentions to go on to Egypt to get away from Nebuchadnezzar. Now Johanan asks Jeremiah for a word from the Lord, and he promises to do whatever Jeremiah says. So Jeremiah tells him to stay in Mizpah and serve Nebuchadnezzar. But Johanan does not believe Jeremiah, and he accuses Jeremiah of being swayed by Baruch. Jeremiah warns Johanan that if he leads the remnant on down to Egypt, there they will all die. Johanan does not listen. He takes all the remnant, including Jeremiah, to Egypt. At Tophanes, Jeremiah takes some stones and he mortars them into the terrace of the entrance of Pharaoh's palace. Jeremiah says, Nebuchadnezzar will sit his throne at the top of these stones, and he will shatter the temple of the gods of Egypt. Jeremiah goes on to tell them that they will all die in Egypt, and Pharaoh Hophra will be given into the hands of Nebuchadnezzar. Once again, the Lord gives Jeremiah a word for the remnant in Egypt. Why are you doing this harm to yourself? By staying in Egypt, the Lord asks. The Lord will cut you off if you stay here. But they say to Jeremiah, we are not going to listen to you at all. On the fifth day of the 10th month of 585 BC, the Lord tells Ezekiel that he is going to be a watchman for the exiles, to blow the trumpet, to warn the wicked that they will die, and to assure the righteous that they will live. The refugees that Nebuchadnezzar took out of the city when he defeated Jerusalem have finally arrived in Babylon, and they go to visit Ezekiel on this day. When they tell Ezekiel that the city has been taken, Ezekiel's mouth is opened, and he no longer is restricted in what he can say, just as the Lord had prophesied. The Lord tells Ezekiel to prophesy to these new refugees against their shepherds, their leaders, the leaders of the people. And as the Lord's watchman, he warns the leaders not to continue leading the sheep of the Lord in the same way they did back in Jerusalem. If they do, then they will know that the Lord is their God. If they do not, they will die. Ezekiel then prophesies against Mount Seir, which is located in the land of Edom. And because they have rejoiced over the desolation of Jerusalem, Edom will become desolate too when Nebuchadnezzar overruns it. Ezekiel prophesies to the mountains of Israel as well as all the valleys and hills and rivers, because they are now desolate and the nations around them are rejoicing in their desolation. But one day the people will be back on the land. Israel will be back on the land, and they will be multiplying, never to be disgraced again. He punished them because of their profaning deeds, but he will regather Israel from all the nations for himself, not for them, and he will give them a new heart to love him. There will never be a famine in the land again when the Lord does this for himself. For a third time, the Spirit picks Ezekiel up physically and takes him to a special place. This time he puts Ezekiel in a valley filled with dry bones. Can these bones live? The Lord asks Ezekiel. You know, O Lord, Ezekiel replies. Ezekiel hears a rattling, and it seems that the bones begin to come together. Tendons and muscles and skin begin to grow on the bodies, but they are lifeless. Come and tell them to breathe, Ezekiel. So Ezekiel does, and the bodies stand to their feet, and it is a great army. The Lord says to Ezekiel, so too, I will raise up the dry bones of Israel and reestablish them over the promised land. Take two sticks, Ezekiel, one for Judah and one for Israel, and join those two sticks together and hold them as if they are one stick. So too I will make the people when they return to the promised land. They will not be two nations then, but they will be one. They will have one shepherd. I will be their God, and they will be my people. The Lord tells Ezekiel to prophesy against Gog of Magog, Rosh, Mishael, and Tubal. It is a prophecy that will be fulfilled after many days according to the prophecy, so we will cover that prophecy when it occurs in history. On the first day of the last month of 585 BC, the Lord tells Ezekiel to take up a lament for the Pharaoh of Egypt. Pharaoh Hopefer will be cast into the open field by Nebuchadnezzar. On the 15th day of that last month of 585 BC, the Lord tells Ezekiel to wail for Egypt and the rest of the nations because they will be defeated by Babylon just like Assyria. In 572 BC, the Lord shows Ezekiel the vision of a beautiful temple, described in extreme detail. It is a temple that will be built way in the future. So we will look at that temple and that vision when it becomes a reality in the history of this story. Out on the plain of Dura, just outside the city of Babylon, Nebuchadnezzar has had a huge golden statue built. It is 90 feet tall and 9 feet wide. And everyone is invited to the dedication service, where the instruction is given that everyone must fall down and worship the image when they hear the sound of the musical instruments. If you do not bow, you will be thrown into the fire. Now Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego do not follow the instructions, and the other leaders complain to Nebuchadnezzar. The king warns the three of their fate in the fire, but they still refuse to bow. He orders the fire to be heated 7 times hotter than normal, and the three to be thrown into it, tied up in their trousers and their coats and their caps. The fire is so hot that it kills the men who throw them into it, but the three are not harmed. Nebuchadnezzar looks into the fire and he sees 4 men walking around, and the 4th looks like the son of the gods. He only threw 3 in. How can this be? The king calls for them to come out and he proclaims that their God is the true God. And as the officials look on, they discover that not even one hair on their head is singed, nor their clothing damaged, or did it smell. Nebuchadnezzar decrees that no one should ever speak a word against God because no other God can deliver this way. The 3, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, continue to prosper in Babylon. Nebuchadnezzar's overthrow of the known world is put on hold for 7 years after building the image of gold and is throwing the 3 Hebrews into the fire. When the 7 years are over, Daniel records a letter that Nebuchadnezzar sent to all the people. It tells of his dream that only Daniel could interpret. Nebuchadnezzar saw a great tree that kept on growing stronger and reaching to the sky, and everything on earth lived under its shade. But an angel descended from heaven who shouted, "Chop it down, chop the tree down, but leave the stump and the roots. Put a band of iron and bronze around it. Let it be in the new grass, and let it be drenched with the dew. Change its mind from that of a man to that of a beast, and let it be for 7 periods of time." Now Daniel interprets the dream. "You, Nebuchadnezzar, are the tree. You will be cut down, and you will be driven into the field, where you will live and think like a beast, and eat grass like the cattle for 7 years." Daniel begs Nebuchadnezzar to break away from his sin so he can continue to prosper. 12 months later, Nebuchadnezzar is on his roof looking over the kingdom, and he says to himself, "Is this not Babylon the Great, which I myself have built as a royal residence by the might of my own power?" Immediately, Nebuchadnezzar hears the words, "Your kingdom has been ripped from your hands, and you will be driven into the field where you will live for 7 years like an animal. His hair and his nails grow long like eagle's feathers and like bird's claws." After 7 years, the Lord returns Nebuchadnezzar's mind. And Nebuchadnezzar turns his eyes towards heaven and he blesses the Most High God. The Lord returns him to his splendor, and he returns him to the palace and to his kingdom that the Lord has given him in the past. And with Nebuchadnezzar's humbled heart, the Lord is able to add surpassing greatness to his kingdom. In 565 BC, Nebuchadnezzar has destroyed Tyre in a very hard battle. The Lord tells Ezekiel that Nebuchadnezzar is moving towards Egypt to capture her and to overthrow Pharaoh Hophra. Every word comes true. Nebuchadnezzar sets a throne over the stones Jeremiah buried there in Tahpenes, and the history tells us that the Jewish remnant there are killed, just as Jeremiah prophesied. When Nebuchadnezzar is finished, Ammon, Moab, Egypt, and Edom are desolate. Once Edom, the homeland of Esau and his descendants, is desolate, the Lord has Obadiah prophesied towards Israel and against Edom. Like Joel, the prophecy tells of the repopulation of Edom and her destruction on the day of the Lord's return at his second coming. We will cover Obadiah's prophecy where it is fulfilled in the history of the story of the Bible. In the 37th year of Jehoiachin's exile to Babylon and being placed in prison, on the 27th day of that 12th month of 556 BC, Nebuchadnezzar dies, and evil Merodach becomes the king of Babylon, and in his kindness he releases Jehoiachin and sets him on a throne beside him, and he provides his daily needs, provisions, and meals until Jehoiachin dies. Since Nebuchadnezzar's initial extraction of exiles from the southern kingdom in 606 BC that included Daniel and Shadrach, Meshach, and others, over the years, Nebuchadnezzar took three more sets of exiles out of the southern kingdom. In 599 BC, Nebuchadnezzar's seventh year, he took 3,023 into exile. In his 18th year, 588 BC, he took another 832. And in his 23rd year, 583 BC, he took another 745. So Nebuchadnezzar took 4,600 persons in addition to the original group that he took out in 606 BC. In 539 BC, Belshazzar, the grandson of Nebuchadnezzar, begins to co-rule with his father, Nabonidus. Now, Nabonidus had killed evil Merodach and taken Queen Nitocris as his wife. Queen Nitocris was Nebuchadnezzar's daughter, and evil Merodach was Nebuchadnezzar's son-in-law. So, Nebuchadnezzar's daughter, Nitocris, is the queen with Nabonidus and also with evil Merodach. Nabonidus is the king, but Belshazzar is of age and he begins to co-rule with Nabonidus in 539 BC. So, in Belshazzar's first year in this position, Daniel has a dream. And in the dream, Daniel sees four great beasts. The first was a lion whose wings were plucked, but it was standing up on his two hind feet like a man, and it had been given a human mind. The second beast was a bear with three ribs in its mouth. The third beast was a leopard with four wings, and it had four heads. The fourth beast was dreadful and strong, with large iron teeth and 10 horns. While Daniel is looking at these 10 horns, a little horn grows up among the 10, and three of the first 10 horns are pulled out by their roots. The little horn has the eyes of a man and a dreadful, boastful mouth. Finally, as Daniel's watching, he sees thrones being set up, and the Ancient of Days takes his seat on his throne. He has snow-white clothing, and his hair is pure white. The throne is in a blaze with flames, and the wheels are afire. A river of fire flows before him, and thousands are attending him, and 10,000 times 10,000s are standing before him. And Daniel sees these books opened, and he sees that that beast is slain, and he's thrown into the burning fire, and the other beasts have lost all their power. And from the clouds, Daniel sees the Son of Man coming to the Ancient of Days, and the Ancient of Days gives him dominion and glory and honor and a kingdom that will never end. All the nations will serve him and his kingdom forever. Daniel asks for the meaning of this vision from one of the attendants who is standing by in the vision, and he tells him that the beast are four kings that will come on this earth with four kingdoms, and they will give their kingdoms to the Son of Man. The dreadful fourth beast with the 10 horns and the little horn that comes up is that last kingdom. That little horn is waging war with the saints, and Daniel sees it. The fourth beast is the fourth kingdom on the earth, crushing the whole world. The 10 horns are 10 kings that will come out of this fourth kingdom. And another will come. That little horn will come up, and he will subdue 3 of these 10 kings. He will rule over the saints at one point in time in his authority for 7 years. But he will finally be annihilated at the end of that 7 years, and everything that he has will be given to the Most High God. And at that point, the dream ends. Daniel is pale. Dread is on his face. And no further interpretation is given to him. So Daniel keeps all these matters to himself. In the 3rd year of the reign of Belshazzar as co-ruler, 536 BC, Daniel has another vision, and he sees the citadel of Susa. And as he looks, he sees a ram with 2 horns standing in front of a canal. And the 2 horns are very long, but one is longer than the other, and the longest one has come up last. He sees a ram butting westward and northward and southward, and no other beast can stand against him. As Daniel keeps watching, he sees a male goat come from the west with a horn between his eyes. And he comes up to the ram that has the 2 horns, which is standing in front of the canal, and he rushed at him with all his mighty wrath. The male goat with 1 horn hurls the ram to the ground, and he magnifies himself. But very quickly, his horn is broken, and in place of his horn, up comes 4 horns that are facing towards the 4 winds of the heavens. And out of one of them comes a rather small horn, which grows exceedingly great towards the south, towards the east, and towards the beautiful promised land. It grows up to the host of heaven and causes some of the host to fall to the earth, and it tramples them down. He says he will be equal to the commander of the host, and he stops the sacrifices that are in the sanctuary, and he throws them down. Daniel hears 2 holy ones speaking to each other. One says, "How long will the vision about the regular sacrifice apply while the transgressions cause horror so as to allow both the holy place and the host to be trampled?" And they say to Daniel, "For 2,300 evenings and mornings this will take place, and then the holy place will be properly restored." A man on the banks of the river calls out to Gabriel and says, "Gabriel, give Daniel an understanding of this vision." And he tells Daniel that this vision is for a time that is to come in the future. He says, "The ram which you saw with 2 horns, that's the king of Media and Persia. The shaggy goat is the kingdom of Greece. And the large horn which is between his eyes is the very first king of the king of Greece. When that horn is broken, those 4 horns that come up are the 4 kingdoms which will come out of his nation, although they will not all come out with the same power that he had. Sometime in the later periods of their rules, and in the course of their authority, a king will arise out of one of those groups who is insolent and skilled in intrigue, and his power will be mighty, but not by his own power, but he will destroy to an extraordinary degree, and he will prosper and perform his will, and he will destroy mighty men and the holy people. And through his shrewdness, he will cause deceit to succeed by his influence. He will even oppose the Prince of Peace, but he will be broken without human agency." Daniel is told to keep this vision secret, because it pertains to many, many days into the future. But after the vision, Daniel is exhausted and sick for many days. Finally, he gets up and he goes about carrying on the business of the king. But he is still astounded at the vision, because there is no one there to explain it to him.